The following message is the 19th in the series titled, An Exploration of the Book of Proverbs, Practical Principles for Living in God's World. This message was based on Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11, and was delivered on Sunday evening, January 20th, 2013, to Emmanuel Reformed Baptist Church of SeaTac, Washington, by Pastor Robert Martin.
Now please turn in your Bibles to Proverbs. Chapter 6. In our study of the opening chapters of this book, we are now in the midst of the ninth fatherly lecture, that is, the lectures that Solomon delivered to his son. Not so much lectures in the sense of from a lectern, but nonetheless, Solomon takes his son aside. He instructs him in the way of wisdom. And in this particular lecture, which comprises chapter 6, Solomon warns his son about a variety of things. Last time we saw that he warned him about the dangers of suretyship, that his son should avoid such arrangements at all cost and should free himself should he be entangled in such arrangements, that this is the way of wisdom. Tonight we're going to come to the second segment of this fatherly lecture, in which Solomon warns his son about laziness. And indeed, as with the other subjects in this chapter, he warns about the danger of suretyship, laziness, and the company of troublemakers is the third theme that we'll take up, God willing, next time. But the first two of these particular dangers, whether it be suretyship or laziness, Solomon indicates that these are causes of self-inflicted poverty or want. And so this lecture has to do with being careful about our future well-being. It bids us to take a long view, and not just a short view of reality, but to think ahead, to think months and even years and decades ahead as to where our decisions now and our patterns of behavior now are going to take us. Well, as sure as the sun came up today, so the sun will arise on a day when your decisions in these things will bear fruit in your life. It's essential, therefore, that you and I give careful attention to what the Bible has to say on these subjects. Now tonight, our subject is laziness, and that will account for the two critters that you see so elegantly drawn on the board. I think most people will recognize what these are. Who would like to identify them for me? This is a slug. Everyone in the Northwest knows what a slug is. All right, what is this thing? It's an ant. All right, it's a poor ant, but it's an ant. All right? And we're going to give these guys names. This very unhappy fellow with his eyes closed in sleep, we're simply going to call him Sam. Sam the slug, that works, doesn't it? All right, now the ant, I thought for an A name for the ant, and all I could think of, please forgive me, is my grandfather's name. His name was Alonzo. So this is Alonzo. Alonzo the Ant. All right, these are very different individuals in terms of their patterns in life. Last evening, while my family had gone in one direction to do a bit of shopping, I wandered into the university bookstore and was looking through their selections in the natural history section, and there was one there entitled Life in the Slow Lane, and it was all about slugs and snails. Well, Sam lives in the slow lane, whereas Alonzo lives in the fast lane. Well, let's see what the Bible has to say about these fellows. Let's look first of all at our text tonight, and then we're going to do something a little different than what we've done in preceding studies in this series. But we begin our reading at verse 6 of chapter 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer or ruler provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your bed? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. Now, there is repeated emphasis in the book of Proverbs on the subject of sluggardliness or laziness. And what we're going to do tonight is we're going to look through the major passages in the book of Proverbs to get an indication as to how the Bible describes Sam the slug. And by contrast, we're going to see from the illustration of the ant the kind of people that we ought to be in terms of the patterns of our life, especially when it comes to those tasks which God has assigned to us. Tasks that are assigned to us for the purpose of our being able to provide for our needs and for the needs of those who are dependent upon us. But for the most part, we're going to be looking at Sam the slug, and you're going to be contributing, you're going to be telling me what you see in these passages. I've scratched down a few notes as to what I have seen, but I want you to tell me in one-word answers or two-word answers, and we're going to make a list, we're going to make a description of Sam, and then by contrast, a description of Alonzo. Now let's turn first of all, we're going to come to this text, actually last, after we've looked at all the rest, but let's turn first to chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. And let's see how this goes. Someone read, please, chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, and then if, as we're reading, please be thinking, as to what characteristics, what one-word or two-word descriptions that you can give of Sam the slug and of his more speedy counterpart. All right? Who will read verses 4 and 5 of chapter 10? Jake?
He who hath a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in the summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame.
All right. What do you see? What are the characteristics of Sam the slug?
Half-hearted.
What?
Half-hearted.
All right. So we say he's half-hearted in what way?
He's not working with all his might.
He's working with a slack hand. So if he's driving nails, how does he drive nails? He's got a heavy hammer in his hand, and he's hitting the nails, but it takes him 3 to 4 times more blows to drive the nail in than it does for Alonzo the ant, right? And so it also takes him what? A lot longer to get through what should have been a very brief job. All right? Instead of doing it in a few minutes, he takes 20 minutes or whatever the case may be. All right? So he has a slack hand. He's half-hearted in his work. What else does this text tell you about Sam the slug? Okay, he's a slacker. And what do you mean by that? What's a slacker? I'm wearing slacks.
Somebody who's lazy, doesn't put any effort into anything. Same thing, kind of half-hearted.
Okay, all right. Well, let's let half-hearted cover that then, because we're going to run out of space if we're not careful by the time we get to the end. What else? What else do you see, Stan?
Pastor says he sleeps.
He's a sleeper. What is he doing when he should be working?
Sleep.
All right. He's doing, let's put it this way. He's doing something else, isn't he? In this case, he's sleeping. He should be up and about his responsibilities. He should be taking care of getting the harvest in, as the proverb says. But instead, he's rolled up in his blanket on his bed. All right, so he's engaged in things that are contrary to his main mission in life. When he should be working, he's not working. All right, what else can we say about him?
Causes shame.
To whom?
Probably probably to the people that are counting on him.
Okay, the people that are counting on him. Look at the text. Let's see specifically who he causes shame to, though, as far as Solomon's point. His parents. Okay, he is an embarrassment to his parents. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? So here's old Sam. He does his work half-hearted. He works with a slack hand. He's unseasonable, if you will, can put it that way. That is, when it's time to work, he's doing something else, and he's an embarrassment to his parents. Right? Do you see anything else in this text before we move on? Sam.
He's
poor. Yeah.
Oh. He is poor. So is his pimp. So he's poor. He receives the due reward for his labors, doesn't he? He does nothing, so he's got nothing. Okay, now, Alonzo the Ant. Does any of this apply to him?
No.
Have you ever seen an ant that's not working? I've never seen one that wasn't working. I've never seen an ant sitting back, smoking a cigar, relaxing on the beach or whatever else. I'm sure they sleep, or maybe they don't. I don't know. Maybe they don't live long enough to sleep. But I've never seen an ant that looks half-hearted. One of my most vivid memories as a young man is in my father's service station, there was a little crack in the wall about that wide, and there was a big beetle that had died and was on the floor, and there were a couple of ants that were determined to take that beetle home. And they dismantled that beetle one bit at a time and jammed him through that hole in the wall and took him home with them. Now, they were diligent. They were not half-hearted in their work. They worked hard. And because of that, they were not poor. Now, they had a beetle. All right. For an ant, that's pretty good to have a beetle. Right? But here's the point. They weren't doing something else when they should have been working. And I don't know if they were, the parents were proud of them or not. Right? But the point is, it's very different for Alonzo the Ant, isn't it? All right, let's look at another text. Right down the page, verse 26. And if someone will read that. All right. First of all, what is the effect of vinegar on the teeth? I love vinegar, so I don't get this. Well, what's the effect of vinegar on the teeth, especially smoke in the eyes?
Irritating.
Is what?
Irritating.
It's irritating, isn't it? It's vexing. Every year at our summer camp out, we all do movable chairs, don't we, at the campfire. As soon as the wind blows the smoke in a certain direction, we begin to circle and begin to move out of the smoke's way. It's an irritation. And so what does this proverb say about the lazy man? What is he?
Annoyance.
All right, he's an annoyance or an irritation, but why is he so? Well, yeah, he's lazy. That's kind of by definition. But the lazy man is lazy. Okay?
Not dependable.
Undependable. He's undependable. So his boss gives him a job to do or sends him on a particular task, and because he doesn't do it, guess who gets to do it? Well, the boss has to go do it himself. And in that case, Sam the Slug is basically useless for whatever the enterprise is. He's been given responsibility, but he can't be depended on to carry it out. All right? Now, what about Alonzo the Ant?
Irritating.
Well, they all seem to be a pig on a mission, don't they? Every one of them seems to know what it's up to and is goes about it, and there doesn't appear to be anyone coming along behind who has to clean up or to finish the job that they start. All right? Let's go to the next text. Chapter 12 and verse 24. Who will read it? Wade?
The hand of the diligent will the rule, but the slack hand will be put to forced labor.
All right. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the slack hand or the lazy man will be put to forced labor. All right. What do you learn from that particular proverb?
Promotion.
Okay. Alonzo, the ant's on his way up. He will advance because he can be depended upon not only to do the work, but to do the work right and to do it on time, et cetera, et cetera. Correct? And so when the boss is looking for someone to fill a managerial position, guess who he looks for? He doesn't look for Sam the Slug. It could be he can't fire Sam the Slug for some reason. But he's not going to promote Sam either. Sam's going to have the lowest jobs. He's going to have the most menial labor. He's going to have the dirty jobs. He's going to have the jobs that pay the least and are least satisfying. But Alonzo the Ant, he's on his way up. And he's going to have not only perhaps an office somewhere in the establishment, and out of the workplace, whatever. But he's going to have a larger salary. He's going to have more perks. All kinds of good things going to happen to him because he's diligent, right? Now, that's the real world, isn't it? You men who work out in the real world, is that how it works? Bob, is that how it works at Costco? I think it is, yes. Stan, that's how it is at Boeing, right? You wouldn't know that. He's retired. You finally got promoted, ultimately. All right. All right. Now, verse 27 of the same chapter. Let's keep going. We're about a third of the way through here. Verse 27. Who will read it? Danny? All right. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting. All right. Sam finally got up and went out with his gun and decided to shoot something to bring home to feed his family. He decided to do some work. It was better than starving. He finally was pushed to it. But now what does he do? He doesn't complete the task, does he? It's too much trouble to cook it. There's no follow through. He begins the task. He goes so far, but then his initiative or whatever it may be simply runs out. And there he is with this beast that he's killed, and it goes to waste. Well, that's how lazy people are. They don't follow through. And so they're not, in this case, they're not poor because they don't have. They're poor because they can't use or they won't use what God gives them. Okay? Are you with me so far? All right, what's Alonzo the Ant doing? Well, he's following through, isn't he? He's finishing what he starts. Finish the job, get it done. Finish the job, then have fun. Okay, so he finishes what he starts. All right, let's go now to chapter 13 and verse 4. Pat, could you read that for us?
I'm sorry, I missed the verse.
13:4.
The soul of the lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich.
All right. Tell me about this guy. What do you know about him?
Dreamer.
He's a dreamer. Oh, boy. He's a dreamer. He's not lazy in his dreams. In those things that require no calories, he's very diligent. He's sitting with his cigar in his easy chair, or he's lying on his bed with his eyes closed, and he's dreaming of great things, isn't he? He's got all these plans and all these desires in his head. But now, what happens?
All right. Never come about.
Okay, he's frustrated, isn't he? He's exceedingly frustrated because he's got all these ideas. He knows what he wants, or at least thinks he knows what he wants, but he's unwilling to get off his duff and do anything about it. And so rather than reproach himself for being lazy, he becomes frustrated, and he becomes cranky, becomes hard to live with. All right, he's a dreamer, but those dreams and desires are unfulfilled. All right, chapter 14 and verse 23. Who will read 14:23? Yes, Nate, thank you.
In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty.
Okay. What do we know about Sam?
He talks big. He talks big, but he doesn't do it.
He talks big. What does talk big mean, as opposed to talking small? Oh, he's got big plans. And he's willing to tell you about it, isn't he? He's not bashful about telling you what he wants and what he desires. And he may not be bashful when it comes to blaming others for not having those things. He won't blame himself, but he'll blame everyone else. But he's a big talker. It's idle talk. While his mouth is running full speed, the rest of him is at a dead stop. And so he never actually takes up those things, those tasks, that will actually produce what he desires, whether it's education or whether it's a paycheck or whatever it may be. He'll talk about it till the cows come home, but he won't do anything about it. Okay, now, Alonzo is the strong, silent type. He lets his working talk for him, doesn't he? He's not running his mouth all the time. He's not blaming anyone for his circumstances. He's simply rolling up his little sleeves and he's going to work. Okay? Now let's look also at chapter 15 and verse 19. I like this. Who will read 15:19? Michael?
The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway.
All right. What does it mean, the way of a lazy man is like a hedge of thorns?
Lots of excuses.
Lots of excuses, lots of impediments, lots of things that seem to get in his way. He's not like a man on a highway. He's not like a man who has this open thoroughfare and he's traveling it, actually going someplace. He's like a man who's fighting himself through a thorn hedge. He's like a man fighting himself, fighting his way through one of the blackberry overgrowths in the back of our property here. How would you like to make your way through that? Well, this man, when he looks at the path of duty ahead of him, that's what he sees. He doesn't see a broad highway, but he sees all the thorns, all the impediments, all the excuses, and he's unwilling to go forward because he doesn't want what?
The pain of dealing.
He doesn't want the pain of dealing with getting scratched. Okay, so how do you describe this guy in one word? Or two words, or three words, whatever. How do you describe that?
He's foolish, because he's, you know, it says a hedge of thorns. He's really, he thinks it's easier because he's not doing anything, but it's really a harder way. If he's making his own way hard.
Okay. All right, that's true. But basically, what is there in this guy's character?
A lack of determination.
Well, he's got a lack of determination, and he's easily deterred, isn't he? It's as though he's looking for excuses to fail.
I think you said something before in the last verse, and you said he blames others for, he has his future ahead, big plans, but he's blaming others, so now he's blaming the hedges that are blocking him.
That's it.
Piling through because they're an obstacle. You gotta go through the hedges. Sometimes you gotta get dirty if you're gonna advance.
Exactly. All right. So this guy, what does it take to stop him? Now remember, Sam the Slug's moving pretty slow to start with. But what does it take to stop him?
Anything.
Anything. Put anything in his path and he's done. Any hardship, any self-sacrifice, any self-denial, anything like that, he's finished. Now what does Alonzo do? Right over the top of it, doesn't he? He just keeps going. All right? So, easily deterred. Is that right? All right. 19:15. Who will read it? Pat? All right, the last part is really easy. In other words, no work, no eat. Simple, right? What about the first part, though? Here's a description of the effect of the man's laziness on himself. It casts him into a what?
Depression.
All right, a depression. That's probably part of it. But it brings a stupor over his soul, doesn't it? So that he becomes unfit for anything. Not just his work. He's unfit for anything. He has this giant cloud that's hanging over him. And it's not a cloud that God has put there. It's not a cloud that his parents have put there. It's a cloud that is there because he will not stir himself and will not shake himself and will not get up and open his eyes and go. He is self-paralyzed. You know anybody like that? You had dealings with anyone like that?
I'm not trying to pick on the young people, but...
Go ahead, brother.
Video games and a computer can get you so distracted that it will paralyze you toward the point where you won't get off your duff and pursue a job or pursue those helping someone out or...
stupor, and it's affecting our lives because this is how we've set a pattern for our lives. We've been sitting on the couch so long and playing video games that we've set a pattern, and now we've grown so lazy that we don't know anything else.
Okay. Well, let's don't just pick on the young people. My guess is that some of you adults play Angry Birds. Right? Come on. You know you do. There's always one more level, isn't there? And when you get there, there's always one more level, but what do you have for your experience? Nothing. You bombed a bunch of pigs. Wow. Wow. I know too much about it, sister. I know way too much about it. All right. But a deep sleep comes on the lazy man, doesn't it? And the point comes where he doesn't have the will to stir himself, even if he sees the reason to do so. All right. Verse 24 of chapter 19. I think we've seen this before, but go ahead. Someone read it.
The lazy man bears his hand a bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again.
Really? Really? He's got a bowl of something in front of him to eat, and he sticks his hand down in the bowl, and he can't bring it to his mouth again. Now, that is laziness in the ultimate, isn't it? But again, there's no follow-through, not even in the simplest things. Someone's cooked it for him. But he can't bother himself to eat it. Now, it is an absurd illustration, isn't it? But do you know people like that? I do. I know some folk who are like that. If they get an itch, they won't scratch themselves. The simplest things are just too much. All right. Chapter 20 and verse 4. I see we have a semi-literate congregation. Who else would like to read? Thank you, Wade.
The sluggard does not plow after the autumn, so he begs during the harvest and has none.
All right. Now, the New King James says the lazy man will not plow because of winter. It's the same idea. Well, what's his problem?
Cold outside.
It's cold outside. And what's the one thing he will not abide at all?
Discomfort
or hardship. If you will hunt it down and cook it and bring it to him, he may lift his hand to eat it, but that's as far as he's going. He's not going to actually go out there and get cold plowing when he should be out there plowing. When it's time to plow, he doesn't want to plow. It's cold outside. Okay? So, again, he shuns hardship. We're beginning to see some repetition, so we'll move a little faster through these. Chapter 20 and verse 13.
Do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes, and you will be satisfied with bread.
Okay, this seems to be a major problem, doesn't it? Repeatedly, the book of Proverbs warns us about this matter of being engaged in something else when we ought to be working. In this case, sleep. Now, is there anything wrong with sleep? No. It has its place, doesn't it? It is necessary in its place and in proportion to the actual need. Most people, however, do not need to sleep 14 to 16 hours a day. However, they need sleep, but they don't need to be sleeping when they have responsibilities to carry out. right? So here's the same problem. They're doing something else. They're engaged in something else, in this case, sleep. But it could be any number of things. They're watching television or they're on Facebook or they're doing this or they're doing that or they're doing the other when they should be working. And then they come to the end of the day, and lo and behold, the work isn't done. Lo and behold, the children need to be fed or whatever it is, and they're not ready. Not because there weren't enough hours in the day, but because they used those hours for something other than what God assigned them as their tasks for that day. All right? Chapter 21 and verse 5. All right, tell me about this guy. What does the word hasty imply?
Scheming. Get rich quick.
Okay, he's scheming. He's
without thought.
Without thought. Okay, so he's not thinking through the plans of the diligent. Alonzo's got a plan, doesn't he? It's well thought out. But not Sam, but there's something else here, I think. Ah, yes, indeed. He's always looking for shortcuts, isn't he? Now, some of that's legitimate. Sometimes there is a better way to do things, but that's not Sam's problem. Sam is not an industrial engineer looking for a better way to do something. Sam is looking for a way to avoid the work as much as possible. And so he's always looking for shortcuts. Now, does that produce what is required for Sam to have what he needs, for his family to have what he needs? Usually not. Usually not. Shortcuts usually result in failure. Okay? All right, chapter 21, verses 25 and 26. Chapter 21, verses 25 and 26. Who will read it?
The diet of the lazy man kills him. For his hand he used, refused to labor. He converts freely all day long, but righteous gives and does not spare.
All right, so the desire of the lazy man kills him. What in the world does that mean? He's dying to have it, isn't he? Whatever it is. He's dying to have it. But will he do anything to have it except to desire it and to lament that he doesn't have it? No, look again at the passage. The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. There's a disconnect between his brain and his hands. His brain says, I want. Somewhere in him, there's a voice that says, if you want, do. But he can't get his hands to respond to the command to do. Okay? Verse 26 says, he covets greedily all the day long. That is, he's always wanting, he's always desiring. But he's the very opposite of Sam. Sam has what he needs because he's been faithful, he's been diligent, he's been industrious, etc., etc., etc. In fact, he has more than he needs. He's even able to give to the poor. Sam's not a big giver. Sam's not a big giver. Okay, the poor can't look to Sam with any expectation or hope, whatever. All right, chapter 22 and verse 13. Oh, I love this. One of the young people, if you will, one of the teenagers, if you would read this passage.
The lazy man says, there's a lion outside. I should be slain in the streets.
There's a lion out there. Now, How many times do you think there's actually a lion in the street? That has got to have been a rare occurrence, even in biblical times and even in Palestine. Here is an excuse, but what kind of excuse is it? It's imaginary. Imaginary excuses. There's a lion in the street. I'll be slain. Well, please don't. We don't want that for you. Don't go out there and get yourself eaten by a lion. You stay home snug in your bed. Right? No. Now we'll see this again. We're simply following these through in terms of their order in the book of Proverbs. We're going to see that again. Chapter 24, verses 30 and 34. Okay, let's read verses 30 through 34. I'm sorry.
I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man.
Okay. So, here again, he's sleeping when he should be working, but what is said about the character of the poverty that's coming upon him?
Sudden, unexpected.
Okay, it's unexpected, but more than unexpected. Okay, he lacks sense. But what is the nature of the poverty that's coming? There's consequences coming because of his laziness. Yes, the wall is broken down, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's the immediate fruit of his laziness. But what is coming in the train of that, and how is it coming? Okay.
It almost becomes too much to overcome. It gets to a point where you can't overcome it. You've let it get so bad that...
Okay, when an armed man comes and puts a gun in your face, what are your options?
Give him everything or lose your life.
Are you not at that point basically out of options? Mm-hmm. Haven't you kind of come to the end of your rope? Is there it... Anyone remember the Borg? No one know who the Borg are? You will be assimilated, resistance is futile. Okay. When poverty comes on this guy, there's nothing he's going to be able to do about it. He can whine and he can cry and he can complain. And he can hoot and holler, and he can blame God, and he can blame his parents, and he can blame the educational system. He can blame all sorts of people, but the one thing he can't do is stop what's coming. When that poverty comes, he's out of options. It's too late to take all the advice that the book of Proverbs has set before him. Okay? So there's a sense in which we can say that there comes a point for Sam when it's basically too late. Now, he may learn the lesson of that in some sense. There may be still years in his life where he can change this pattern and get on a different track, but there's nothing he can do to stop the train that's staring him in the face. He has laid down on the track, and he's getting ready to get run over. Okay? Chapter 26, verses 13 through 16. Here's our friend the lion again. Samuel. Okay, so some of the earlier ideas are brought into this particular statement, isn't it? We have the illustration of the lion in the street, the imaginary obstacles. I can't go out there, I'll be eaten by a lion. You also have in this passage the image of a man so lazy. The earlier image is he won't roast what he took in hunting, or he won't lift his hand from the bowl to his mouth. Well, here's a man who's like a door on his hinges on his bed. He is in motion, isn't he? But it's only from one side to the other. The biggest accomplishment he has for his day's, quote, labor is to flip his pillow over onto the cool side so he's a little more comfortable. All right? But now I want you to notice verse 16. Here's something else about Sam the slug. He is a know-it-all. You can't tell him anything. He's basically unteachable. Okay? That's true. But I want you to notice something else about Sam. Sam has no reason to have this particular attitude concerning himself, but Sam is proud. And that's why Sam comes to the point that even when he knows what to do, he won't do it. He's proud. Look again at verse 16. He's wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. Pick seven wise men, bring them to Sam to tell Sam how to get out of this mess, and Sam knows better. Why would I listen to them? He's a know-it-all. Okay, last text. And then we'll come back to our text in chapter 6. Chapter 31 and verse 27. If one of the ladies would read this, that would be much appreciated. Colleen?
She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness.
Okay. What does this verse tell you? Something very basic.
She's a worker.
She's
a worker.
That's not what I'm looking for, though. Thank you. Yeah, it's not it. Who else? This is a softball, guys. Come on.
She cares for her household. She cares for her family.
Okay, so she's... how do I say this? The he can also be a she, right? You don't have to be a teenage boy to be lazy. You don't have to be a middle-aged Sam the slug until all of these proverbs apply. These apply to Samantha the slug as much as it does to Sam the slug. And likewise, the goal is for the ladies to be Alice the ant, if you will. All right? This is not exclusively a male problem. Contrary to what a lot of people seem to think, it is not exclusively a male problem, is it? Now, let's come back to our text in chapter 6. And I think you'll discover that we've seen everything that we've seen already in these other texts. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Okay? We're commanded to study the character and the behavior of the humble ant. Okay? Go to the ant, consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, that is, mom and dad are not standing over them day and night, having to remind them of their duty, having to tell them what to do next. The boss doesn't have to be in the room before they're in motion. Okay? No overseer, no ruler, no captain, but nonetheless, they are about the business of doing what they should be doing. They provide her supplies in the summer, gathers her food in the harvest. When she should be working, what's she doing? Well, not something else. She's working. And then, again, the image of slumber. How long will you slumber, or oh, sluggard? It's wake-up time, right? How long will you slumber, oh, sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Just 10 more minutes, just 50, just another hour, please. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. There's that phrase, that expression again. Okay. So, here's the easiest question of the night. Which is the model that we should aspire to? I'll go for Alonzo, thank you very much. But now, the truth is, where are all of us? Somewhere in the middle, thank you very much. We're in here somewhere. Some of us are closer. Some of us have more the shape of a slug. Some of you have more the shape of an ant. So some of you are more industrious, some of you are less industrious, but really, this is where we should be taking our cues. This is the model we should be following. This is the path of blessing, isn't it? Here's the path of meeting our needs in God's providence. God has not promised to bless us in spite of all of that. Believe it or not, God will let you starve. If you determine to be Sam the slug, he will let you starve. He will let your family do without. But he blesses those who are diligent in walking in the way of wisdom. Now that's so basic, isn't it, folks? Now you young people, I hope you've heard what I've been saying tonight. Because the temptation that you're going to face in this generation more than in any generation before. Pat touched on it tonight obliquely. But you are facing the temptation to be Sam the slug in ways that the older generation never was confronted with. Life has become in many ways easy. But beware. Beware, this is still the way to disaster. Okay? All right. Well, God willing, next time when we come back, we'll look in this chapter also at what Solomon says about troublemakers, about the company of troublemakers. But let's pray. Let's ask that the Lord would help us to indeed understand these things and help us to aspire to be what we ought to be in the light of His Word. So let's pray. Our Father, we do bow before You again tonight. We acknowledge the wisdom of Your Word. We acknowledge the wisdom of these Proverbs. We acknowledge, Lord, that to our shame, there is a great deal of Sam the Slug in us. We pray that You would help us to war against those expressions of indwelling sin that are seen in the life of the sluggard. We pray that You would help us to be diligent men and women. We pray that our children, that the young people would learn these things early in life, that they not waste their life in idleness. Our God, we pray that You would help us to honor You, for we believe, Lord, that indeed that You do honor those who honor You. Lord, set us in the path of blessing, we pray, and grant us Your grace and help us to honor You in the manner of our work, in the manner of our behavior. Lord, keep us from being lazy and sluggardly. We ask, Lord, for Your mercies in Jesus' name.